You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sachstein.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul. Always great to be with you on a Wednesday afternoon here live from our studio in Johannesburg. We're going to look at some interesting issues, both current and past, that I think are relevant to the Jewish people. And we're going to introduce a concept which is very important for us to be aware of, a certain concept of the power of the klal, which means the power of joining together as a nation, being unified as the Jewish people. We'd love to hear from you through the course of our discussion. Send us a WhatsApp on 0861-895-1019, SMS us 34519, and let's hear what you think about what we're saying. So in order to introduce it, I do think that we've had a interesting few weeks over here in our community, in our Jewish community here in South Africa. Certainly with the whole Stan and Pete scandal, it's something that's rocked the community and needs to be thought about carefully. And also, we've had a wonderful event this past weekend. We had Sana in Durban, which is really an incredible event of Torah learning and of the community coming together in order to learn Torah and to hear from world-class speakers and their different expertise. And it really, once again, was a fantastic success. So bearing that in mind, I do think that we need to understand what it means to be part of a community and what the benefits of community are and our responsibilities in the community. So let's start out by introducing the issue with a very powerful concept of the Noam Elimelech. So we see the parsha that we read last Shabbos, last week, the parsha came to, it was called Parshas Vayakal. In fact, it was a double head up, Vayakal Pekudei. We finished Sefer Shmos. And the parsha began with Moshe gathering the Jewish people. The pasuk says, Vayakal Moshe, it's called Adas Bnei Yisrael, V'yom Alehem. Moshe gathered together the people of Israel, and he said to them, Eila Advarim Ashetziv Hashem, La'asoy Sosam. These are the things that Hashem commanded to do. The Yalkut Shimoni, the Midrash, asks a question and says, this is the only time in the entire Torah where Moshe addresses the people in this manner. When Moshe, where the Torah says, Vayakel Moshe Esko Adas B'nei Yisrael, that Moshe gathered together from the word kahal, which means community. Why now? Why here? Why is this the only time where Moshe addresses them in this way? Every other place, Moshe communicates to the people what Hashem told him. Vedeber Moshe El Bnei Yisrael. Moshe speaks to the Jewish people and says to them what Hashem told them. He communicates what Hashem has instructed him to command the people. But only here does he Vayakel. Now, it's important to note that this is when is this all taking place of Vayakel, of where Moshe gathers the people and he commands them to build the Mishkan. So that is the day after Yom Kippur, says Rashi. What happened? The Jewish people sinned with the Chayta Ha'egel, with the sin of the golden calf. Moshe then went up for a second time. He came down just before Elul. He went up a third time, Rosh Chodesh Elul, came down on Yom Kippur with the second set of Luchos. So Moshe is now descended for a third time from the mountain. He's holding the second tablets that he has hewn out of the stone. And it's only now that the Jewish people know that they've been forgiven from the Chayta Egel, from the sin of the golden calf. And Moshe then, the very next day, first thing he does after coming down the mountain, the next day after Yom Kippur, it says, Vayakel Moshe is called Adas Bnei Yisrael. He gathered them all together and he tells them that they must build a Mishkan and that they must keep Shabbos. So that's the first thing he does is Vayakel. It's significant that it's at this specific time because Moshe is telling them a very deep and powerful message, a message that we could understand from a principle from the Noam Elimelech. This is the question that's asked by the great Hasidic Rebbe, the Shlonim Rebbe, the Nasiv Shalom, and he answers the question the following way. He says that the Noam Elimelech, who was one of the great Rebbes in the history of the world, Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk. In fact, many Jewish groups visit Ukraine today and go to Lizhensk to go to Rav Elimelech's kever, to his grave. Rav Elimelech was a very great person, a very holy individual and a huge Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Elimelech says an interesting, very interesting principle, but we have to go to our ad break right now, so stay with us and we will share this beautiful idea of Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhensk when we return.
Radio that's better than the rest. This is 101.9 High FM.
The Dummy's Guide to Streaming High FM on the Internet. Step 1, visit www.highfm.com. Step 2, click Listen Live. Step 3, select the player you installed on your PC. Step 4, enjoy High FM all day long.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Welcome back. We're talking about the power of the klal, of community, and the incredible spiritual level or power of what we call Knesset Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk says that when a Jew does a mitzvah, a man or a woman, when we fulfill a mitzvah, we should say, L'shem Yichud, for the sake of the unity of Hashem's name, the oneness of God in the world, for the sake of God. And we should also say, L'shem Kol Yisrael, for the sake of all Yisrael. Why? Why, when we're doing a regular mitzvah, do we have to say, for the sake of all of the Jewish people? And he explains and he says the following. When a Jew does a mitzvah, when we're doing a mitzvah with our body, let's say we're eating matzah on Pesach, or we are putting on tefillin, or we're lighting the Shabbos candle, when we're doing a mitzvah, so we are using this body, which unfortunately has been involved in other things apart from mitzvahs. All of us have had our ups and downs, and we've all, you know, fulfilled Hashem's commandments, and there's times when we don't fulfill Hashem's commandments. So how can I take this body that's been associated, that's carried out transgressions, and do a holy, pristine mitzvah of God? We're sullied by our sin. We have taken this tool and we've damaged this tool. So how can we do a mitzvah with a damaged tool, with damaged goods? Rabbi Melech says, because there's a certain concept called Kol Yisrael. Kol Yisrael is the essence of Klal Yisrael, and that is something that's above individual sin. As the quotes the pasuk from Yeshaya that says that Va'amech kulam sadikim, in your nation they are all righteous. That the essence of the Jewish people is a very holy, pristine place, and that's not sully, that's not soiled, that's not weakened by the sin of individuals. And says, so that's why we say the shame Kol Yisrael, because when I'm doing this mitzvah now, I'm connecting to that concept called Kol Yisrael. I'm rising above my individual self, my individual flaws, and I'm connecting to that bigger, holy, pristine, perfect entity called Kol Yisrael. And that's a very powerful thing. And then, so he says, that's how we do the mitzvah properly. That's how we can do the mitzvah in perfection, because we're connecting to this pristine level of Kol Yisrael. And says in the Sefer Shalom, that's why right now, Moshe Rabbeinu, the only time in the Torah is Vayakil Moshe is called Aras Bnei Yisrael. He's gathered them together, the community, because he's communicating this idea to them. He's saying, even though we sinned with the golden calf, those are viewed by Hashem as individual sins. But when we Vayakil, when we come together as a kahila, as a community, we rise above those individual sins. And Klal Yisrael as a whole is not weakened by individual sins within Klal Yisrael. And that's why right now, after Chet HaEgel, is telling them that this concept of Kol Yisrael is still intact. And when we associate ourselves with this concept of Kol Yisrael, so we're able to elevate ourselves and rise above our individual idiosyncrasies, our individual sins and the baggage that we bring with us. So this concept of Kol Yisrael is a very beautiful, powerful concept. And it's something that we should all think about, and it's important that we all associate ourselves with Kol Yisrael, that we connect ourselves with the mainstream body of Klal Yisrael. And that Kol Yisrael is the body of Israel, that we come together to fulfill our bris, our covenant with God. That's who we are. That's we were created. We became a nation when God took us out of Egypt, and we entered into a covenant with God at Mount Sinai, and that's our identity. We are identified by our by the covenant of the Torah and mitzvahs that God commands us to fulfill. When we come together under that banner, so we access this power, this incredible force in nature called Kol Yisrael, which lifts us above our own individual levels. And that's something that we should consciously do. We need to connect ourselves with the Jewish people under the banner of Torah and mitzvahs. And there are many ways we can do that. One of the ways, Sinai and Dabur was a beautiful example of that, was Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people coming together, all different Jews from all different parts of the community and all different levels of observance, but we're coming together in order to learn Torah, in order to listen to what the Torah has to say about different aspects of life, in order to unify, to be united as Kol Yisrael, which is a very powerful thing and something that we should make an effort to do. Because if we say, if we think, if we sit back and think, you know, well, everybody else is going to do it. What do I need to be there for? What do I need to go to shul for? What do I need to be part of the minyan for? What do I need to go to Sinai and Dabur for? You know, there's enough people there. I'm not needed. It's not true that, that firstly, if everybody had that attitude, there would be nobody there. So everybody counts, and we need everybody to be there. As a communal rabbi, I can testify to that fact, that if everybody thought, you know, well, my neighbor, the other oak's going to go, what do I need to go for? So you wouldn't have anybody davening together. You wouldn't have anybody in shul. You wouldn't have a community. So we need people to make the effort to come and to create that community. And that, so firstly, we need to create the Kol Yisrael. But as an individual, there's a tremendous amount to gain if we associate ourselves with this body of the Jewish people. And we make an effort, a proactive effort, to show that I identify myself with and I connect to Kol Yisrael, to the Jewish people. And I think we should have that in mind also when we're looking at this whole question of kashrus and of the chickens. And, you know, so of course our based in, that runs the kashrus in South Africa, is a very competent organization that has a high level of kashrus, which is respected by kashrus organizations all over the world. That's definitely the starting point. Of course, it's not perfect. And of course, there are loopholes and there are gaps. And obviously, we need to make a great effort to close those gaps as best we can and as efficiently as we can. And the Beis Din certainly intends to implement a new system, which is better than the previous system, in which will be more efficient. They were planning to do it sometime later this year, but now they're going to fast track it and do it quickly, which is great, which is a development. The old system anyway was on a high level. This is going to be even higher level. But it's not perfect. No system is perfect. No system is watertight. And yes, they have to assume responsibility for breaches in the system and in the agreements. And if individuals have intent to break those agreements and to behave in a way that is dishonest and that is, you know, is allowing tray food in, so it is, if people have that kind of intent, it's difficult to control it, and obviously there need to be the best systems possible to try and prevent that from happening. But we see in the world, we see in the world of finances, we see that, you know, even with all the securities and all the legislation in place to try and keep things straight and honest, you know, you have your Bernie Madoffs and you have your Steinhoffs and you have those that buck the system. It's the same in the world of kashrus. But we need to view it in a balanced way. There's been, unfortunately, a lot of criticism and a lot of negativity. I think many people have an axe to grind, and this is the opportunity to express it. But yes, it's a free society, and we must express our criticism when we feel it's due. But it must be within a broader context of understanding that the success of the South African Jewish community is largely due to the fact that we have one chief rabbi and we have one based in. And that is a very unifying factor in the community that ensures that our standards all around within Yiddishkeit are very high. And it gives us the ability to develop and grow the community, which is the envy of Jews around the world. So that's a tremendous asset that we have. We have one Beis Din, we have one chief rabbi, and they are responsible people that are doing their best in order to serve the community. They're talented people. I think they could be, all of them could be making a lot of money doing other things, but they choose to dedicate their lives to the upliftment and development of Klal Yisrael, of Kol Yisrael. And by and large, they're doing a tremendous job. The chief rabbi is a real star, and his Sinai and Dabur is an incredible project, which is just boosts our community and is a fantastic opportunity for us to come together and learn. His Shabbos project has international renown, has really literally changed the face of our community, and he's doing so all over the world. And he does a tremendous job on behalf of the community, and so does the Beis Din. So, of course, we can express our concern and our disappointment, but it needs to be within that context. And we need to, they represent Kol Yisrael. They represent the mainstream Judaism of South Africa. And they do a very good job at that. And we need to, instead of pulling ourselves away from them and being overly critical, we need to appreciate in a broader perspective what they do and what they represent. And we need to have constructive criticism is welcome and is important. And that's how we improve and get better. But it shouldn't be destructive criticism, because destructive criticism undermines the community, undermines the communal organizations, and actually leads to it's not productive at all. It doesn't lead to developing and growing and building Torah in our city and in our country, but it actually leads to destroying. So we shouldn't destroy. And that's very important for us as individuals to be aware of that, because if we attack the Kol Yisrael, attack the mainstream Judaism, this concept called Knesset Yisrael, so then we are separating ourselves from that. And we, if we stand alone, if we perish min ha-tzibur, as it says in Pirkei Avos, al difrosh min ha-tzibur, don't separate yourself from the tzibur, from the mainstream community. When we stand alone, it's not so easy for us to stand alone. And our track record is not great if we're just relying on our own merits. So when they look at us, min ha-shamayim, when Hashem is judging us, it's unlikely we're going to succeed. But when we attach ourselves to Kol Yisrael, which is this concept of the Noam Elimelech, which is above nature, so that will bring us through, and that also helps us build Klal Yisrael. So I think that those are important ideas that we should be thinking about and be aware of. And yes, constructive criticism is important, but it shouldn't be negative, destructive criticism. Well, let me know your thoughts. Send us in your response and your reflections on what I'm saying. You can WhatsApp us 061-895-1019. Send us an SMS 34519. There are different ways that we can connect to the tzibur. There are different ways we can connect to the community. And that is, and make ourselves part of the Kol Yisrael. There's an interesting concept that I actually heard from one of the excellent Sinai Dava speakers, Rabbi Y.Y. Rubenstein. And he said that there's an interesting kasha in the Alshech. The Alshech was one of the great rabbinic commentators of the 19th century, very brilliant person. And he's got a commentary on Pirkei Avos. The first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Ha'olam oimed al shlosha devarim. The world stands on three things. Torah, avoda, u'gemilas chasadim. Torah, avoda means the service of God, and gemilas chasadim, acts of kindness. The Alshech says, it seems that the order is incorrect. Why does the Mishnah say Torah first, then avoda, then gemilas chasadim? Because all three, those three pillars that hold up the world, are represented by the three avos, by the three patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Now, Avraham stands for chesed, Yitzhak stands for gevura, for avoda, for serving Hashem, and Yaakov is tiferes, his Torah, is titzen emes Yaakov, the perfect balance, which Torah represents. So if it's going to follow the avos, it should say, the Mishnah should say, Olam oimed al shosh devarim, gemilas chasadim, avoda Torah. But it switches the order. It switches Yaakov with Avram. It says, Torah avoda gemilas chasadim. Al-Sheikh asks, why is that so? Isn't that a great question? I've never thought of that question before. It's really a beautiful question. And he answers. The Al-Sheikh says that the answer to that question is that Torah, for a Jew to connect themselves to Klal Yisrael, to fulfill our bris, our covenant with Hashem, through Torah, is demanding, is not so easy. We all know that if one wants to become a Talmid Chochem, it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, many, many hours of blood, sweat, and tears pouring over the Holy Torah in order to gain sufficient Torah knowledge to enter into, you know, to be a part of the world of Chochmah, of Torah knowledge. So that's hard work and takes a lot of dedication. Avoda too. Avoda, which represents the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, of the temple, of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary. But today we don't have a sanctuary, so what do we have? What's our Avoda today? Our Avoda is Avoda Shebelev, is tefillah, is davening. And it's also very, very difficult to be able to achieve and to be successful in tefillah. I'm speaking for myself over here, but when we're davening our Shmona Esrei, our Amidah, three times a day, and we take our three steps forward, and we're entering into a new realm, and we're supposed to shut everything else out, and all the noise, we're bombarded constantly all day, it's happening, our phone, our computer, we drive it, our lives are busy, and we're bombarded with information and with activity, And we're supposed to, when we take those 3 steps forward, block it all out. And there's a silence. All the noise dies down. And we only focus on those holy words of the Shemoneh Esrei, which are deep and powerful and penetrate right through to the highest worlds. So to be able to block everything out and just focus on those words entirely is a tremendous avoda, is that takes a tremendous amount of effort and work, a tremendous amount of focus. It's not easy to do that. And, you know, we find that our minds are all over the place, everywhere but in those words. So at least we got to focus on the first blessing, the blessing of Avos. In order to be Yotzi, in order to fulfill our obligation of Tefillah. If we haven't focused on the first blessing of the Amidah, we haven't fulfilled the Amidah. We haven't davened. We haven't fulfilled the obligation of praying in the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. So at least the first blessing we have to psych ourselves. We have to focus on. We have to think, I'm going to do it. And now I'm going to focus on these, at least the first blessing. I'm not going to let my mind wander. That's a hard thing to do if we're conscious of what's going on in our heads. So avoid is very difficult. And to achieve and to accomplish an avoda. The third one, Gemilas Chasadim. So that's something that we can all relate to very well. Gemilas Chasadim, doing chesed, is really inbuilt in the DNA of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. And the amount of chesed that takes place within Jewish communities is actually staggering and breathtaking. That the, you know, you go to any Jewish community and you see how people are helping each other, how people care for each other, whether it's a time of tragedy and a time of loss, or it's a time of simcha and a time of joy, and how communities come together when there are major communal tragedies, how the community makes an effort to help. It's quite inspiring and breathtaking. You go to any religious community around the world, particularly in Israel, and you'll see there's a directory of gemachim. Gemach stands for gemilas chasadim, means acts of kindness, where people set up organizations in which they offer to help. They offer free help in different aspects of life. So, you know, I spent many years in a community just outside Jerusalem called Telstone, and over there were many different of these free these organizations where you could, if you had a simcha, it was called a simcha gemach. If you wanted to borrow tables and chairs for free, that was available. If there was a medicine gemach, that if you needed certain medicine, you could go and borrow the medicine that you need. There was a gemach for tools, for power tools, if you needed a tool, if you needed a drill. Anything that you could think of. There was a gemach for sfarim. There's a gemach for baby goods. There's amazing. And that's all free. It's all just to help and do chesed to support those that need it. So the Jewish people within our DNA, within our mindset, is chesed, is kindness, is charity, is tzedakah. Says the Al-Sheikh, that's the easiest one for all of us to relate to. So that's why the order switched around in the first Mishnah of Pirkei Avos. Torah, avoda, gemilas chasadim. If we're not excelling in Torah, we're not able to grow in Torah as we should. You know, it's an obligation for all of us to learn Torah, to kuvah it in the Torah. If we're not doing so well in Tefillah, we try, we all have to daven the Amidah, daven the Shemoneh Esrei. But if we're not accomplishing very well in that area, so we all have the safety net, the insurance of gemilas chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim is an area that at least we could come in and succeed and excel over there. And that will still connect us to the Kol Yisrael, to that entity called the Jewish people. If we're doing chesed for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, whether it's chesed we're giving to Israel, whether it's chesed we're giving to Torah institutions of learning, which is a great merit for us, that's the greatest merit of all, whether it's a chesed that we're helping the community in some way, so all of these acts connect us to Kol Yisrael and make us, instead of being this individual who's on his own mission or on her own mission and separated, we now become part of the Klal. We're now contributing to the Klal. And likewise, when we participate in communal events, we go to Shul to daven together in a minyan, we go to Sinai in Daba, we show that we are a part of Kol Yisrael. So that lifts us, that enters us into this world of Kol Yisrael. And that's something that we desperately need. Because if we're out on our own, it's very unlikely we're going to make it through and we'll succeed in the scales of judgment. But when we are an active member and we associate ourselves consciously with Kol Yisrael, so that'll lift us and that'll pull us through. And that's why on the days of judgment of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we come together as a klal. We daven together as a community because we're showing that on my own I'm not going to make it, but together with a klal, well, that's, by the way, one of the reasons why we daven in the minyan, because it's brought in halacha that we daven in the minyan, because if we daven on our own, we don't have the merits for our tefillahs to break through. But if we daven in the minyan, it's very likely that one person in that minyan is a righteous individual. And in the schus, in the merit of that righteous individual, all of the tefillahs will get through. That package will make it through to the higher worlds. So that's the importance of that's the concept of Kol Yisrael, and the importance of us connecting ourselves to Kol Yisrael, the importance of us associating ourselves with, not being outside of the communal organizations, but being part of them. Constructive criticism is welcome, but recognizing that there is such a thing as mainstream Kol Yisrael that we are wanting to be a part of. When we come back, I want to share with you a beautiful story that emphasizes this point that we're making.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Welcome back, and we hope that you've been sending us your thoughts and your responses to what we're talking about. Unfortunately, though, our SMS line is down, so we haven't been able to read your messages or your comments. We apologize for that. Hopefully, the system will be up and running shortly. So we're talking about this important concept called Kol Yisrael. Vayakel Moshe gathers the people in order to tell them that this entity of Kol Yisrael is unblemished, is not damaged by the sin of the golden calf. That's when we come together as a community. And when we it's important that we recognize that we have a community and that we associate ourselves with the community and we make an effort to be a part of the community. And although constructive criticism is welcome, it shouldn't be in a way that we're undermining the strength of the community and the mainstream communal organizations that bring us together under the banner of Torah and mitzvahs. We discussed the Al Sheikh on the first Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Why is the order mixed up? Why is it not Gemilas Chasadim Avodah Toret, which would follow Avraham Yitzhak Yaakov, but rather it's the other way around, Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim? We say because Chesed, there's three ways we can associate ourselves with and ensure that we are vibrant members of the Klal, of Kol Yisrael, the Jewish people. That's through our Torah, we come together and we learn Torah together. And the bris of Torah, that's our voida, is our tefillah, we daven together, we pray together. And finally, Gemilas Chasadim doing Chesed. And if we're not able to excel in Torah and Avoida, there's always the safety of Gemilas Chasadim of Chesed, which we all can relate to, which could all easily excel in. And as Baruch Hashem, we see Jewish communities around the world are phenomenal when it comes to our Chesed, to doing acts of kindness. This is an amazing story that I also heard from Rabbi Yehoshua Rubinstein, one of the outstanding speakers of Sinai and Darba. And he said that he was in Los Angeles a few years ago, and he was walking outside of shul, and somebody offered him a little bit of a l'chaim and some mezonos. It's customary on a yotzat that we, in honor of the person who's passed away, we share some mezonos, some cake, and maybe we have a l'chaim together to honor the soul of the person who's passed on. And somebody offered him something, and he said, would you like some? He said, would you like some single malt whiskey? Actually, he was offered. He said, yay. So the guy said, are you that famous Scottish rabbi? He said, yay. Rabbi Yehoshua Rubinstein, he said, yay. He said, I heard that you've had a hard time lately. Unfortunately, Rabbi Rubinstein's wife passed away with cancer. So he said, are you the one? He said, yay. And he heard that this guy had a South African accent. So he said, are you so-and-so from South Africa? He said, yeah. He said, I've heard you've also had a hard time. He said, yeah. Not yeah, but yeah. And he said, how are you doing? And he told him his story. Listen to this unbelievable story. That this person emigrated from South Africa, went to Los Angeles. When he emigrated, he had children and a wife. His wife was pregnant at the time that they left. And they had only been in L.A. for a few months. They were at home. They had a home in West Hollywood. And they heard a huge noise and commotion in the streets. And this man then went out to see what was going on. And as he got into the street, so a person who was very high on drugs pulled out a gun and said to him, give me your cash. I want your money. I want your cash. So this man said, I don't have any cash on me. He says, I know you got cash. Where's your cash? And his wife heard what was going on, heard all the shouting, and she also came out holding their newborn baby. Their baby had just been born. And she's standing by the front door looking at her husband with a man who's pointing a gun at him. So her husband said, quickly go inside and get the kids and hide them. And they went to hide the other side of the house in the garden, amongst the bushes in the garden. And this man continued to aggressively say, give me your cash. And he said, I don't have any cash, but I have a gold watch that my father-in-law gave me when I got married. He said, so they went inside, he gave him the gold watch. But it wasn't good enough. And the man with the gun continued to say, I know you got cash, give me the cash. He said, I don't have any cash. And he pulls the trigger. He shot him 5 times, point back blank range, in the stomach. He then goes outside and finds this man's wife and the holding their newborn baby and their other children hiding in the garden. And he says, where's the cash? I want the cash. And she said, we don't have any cash on us. And he then pulls the trigger, but he's out of bullets. No bullets left in the gun. And he runs away. And she calls the police and they come and they take her husband to casualty. And the trauma surgeon is trying to save his life, and he finds 4 of the bullets. He can't find the 5th bullet, can't stop the bleeding. He's trying and trying. He's not able to do it, and he eventually gives up. And he steps outside, and he goes to the foyer, and he sees an unbelievable sight in the foyer. He comes back, and he says to his team, "Let me scrub up again. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep trying." And they kept going, and they were able to stop the bleeding. And Baruch Hashem, they saved this man's life. What did he see out there in the foyer? 200 people davening for this man's recovery. 200 people, 200 yidden crying to Hashem and Shemaim that this person's life should be saved. He's new to the community. He's been there 2 months. Not only that, so they're davening, and him seeing this unbelievable sight moves the surgeon, and he goes back in and he's able to save his life. Not only that, but the community sells the house of this family because they don't want the family and the children to be traumatized to go back into this house to be subject to all that, to those memories. And so they sell the house and buy a new house within a week, which apparently West Hollywood is not a simple thing to do. It's very, very difficult. But they're able to, the community comes together and does that. They literally save this man's life with their tefillahs, and they sell the house, and they're brand new in the community. That's Klal Yisrael. That's the sense of community, the sense of camaraderie and closeness that we feel amongst the Jewish people. And we've all got our stories to tell, don't we? You know, going somewhere in the world on a plane, in somewhere, you're davening, you want something kosher. It's amazing how, you know, we connect with our fellow Jews all over the world. And there's an instant feeling of closeness, of family, of unity, and of helping one another. That's the chesed of the Jewish people. It's important that we connect with that chesed and show that we are a successful and thriving member, a participating member of the Jewish people of Klal Yisrael, and we're playing our part. And that's got a very strong effect on the world, on ourselves, and on building Klal Yisrael. So in conclusion of this point, I think it's important that we look at ourselves and we ensure that we are a vibrant member of Klal Yisrael in some way, whether it's through Torah, Avodah Zarah, but preferably it should be all three. Why? It's the three pillars upon which the world stands. You know, we don't want to be a three-legged table, but 2 legs are missing or 1 leg's missing. So we need to ensure that we participate in all those areas of Torah, of learning Torah, of observing Torah, of tefillah, that we daven with our community. We are a member of an Orthodox community. We participate in that community. And chesed. And we also contribute to Klal Yisrael in general and to our community in particular. And we're also supportive of our outstanding communal institutions that we have here in Johannesburg, whether it's the Chief Rabbi, whether it's the Beis Din, whether it's the Chevra Kedisha. They are all outstanding organizations that represent the Klal, that represent Klal Yisrael, this entity of Klal Yisrael that we need to be a part of. So stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We're going to close with an idea of something that was very central to the history of the Jewish people, and that was the Beis HaMikdash. That was the sanctuary that was built. It was a temporary sanctuary when they were in the desert. They brought it into Eretz Yisrael. Then King Solomon built the first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple, which was standing for 420 years. And then we were exiled by Nebuchadnezzar. We had the Purim story. We come back and rebuild the second temple under Ezra's Sofer, and the second temple stood for 410 years. The sanctuary was a central part of the life of a Jew. And even today, when we go to Eretz Yisrael, so the first place that we go to is the Kotel. We make sure that we don't leave Israel without having visited the Kotel, the place of where the temple stood. And we feel a tremendous spiritual energy and power over there. It's a very unique place on the planet with a whole different energy. If one taps into that energy, it's a very moving and inspiring experience. What is this concept of a temple? And also, what is the concept of the avoid of the service in the temple? Primarily, the service in the temple was korbanos, was sacrifices. What's going on over here? What's its relevance? Why is it so important to the Jewish people? How are we supposed to understand it? So firstly, Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch says that the word korban comes from the Hebrew word of karev, karov, which is close. A korban brings the person who's bringing that korban, that sacrifice, close to God, like karev. The korban brings that person closer to God. How does that work? How does the korban do so? So this beautiful understanding that I would like to share with you from Rav Simcha Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, of blessed memory. Rav Simcha explains that the human being is made up of two entities, of a body and of a soul. The body of a human being is a physical entity, which is like an animal, an animal's body. An animal also has a body, which is very similar to the human body. However, that which distinguishes a human being from an animal is our neshama, is our soul, is our chelek elokei mimal. That's a portion of God, a slither, a spark of God that's from above, which is infused in our body. And that's what makes us human, and that distinguishes us from the rest of creation, is this holy soul that God has breathed into our bodies. And the purpose of life is in order for the soul to dominate the body, is in order for the soul to be the ruler of the roost, the soul to be in control, and the soul to decide how we behave, how to live our life, what we do, where we go, and how we conduct ourselves. If the soul is in control, so the soul is generating spiritual merits, overcoming the body all the time, which is a constant struggle. As long as we're alive in this world, there's that tension. There's that struggle between body and soul. That's what defines us as alive in this world. And every moment we're here, we have to deal with that struggle. Most of us don't even realize that there's any struggle going on at all because our bodies are in total control. Our bodies are dominant. But the purpose of life is for the soul to supersede the body, for the soul to be in control of the body. And when we do so, if we do so and succeed in that mission, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, but by and large we are overall successful, so then we will be rewarded for that tremendous effort that we've put in, and we will receive schar, merit, in Olam Haba, in the next world, in Olam HaNeshamos, in the world of souls, and in the next world, when the body and soul are reunited once more. So that is the merit we will receive for our body, for the work we've done over here in building the soul and in the soul being dominant. If, however, we're not successful in that task, in that all-important task, the reason why we were created, and the body is in control, and that is how it is with most people in this world, most human beings on this planet, and the body is leading and deciding and influencing, and we're driven by kina and taiva and kavod, by our jealousy and our desires and our appetites for power, our appetites for pleasure. That's what drives us. If that's what's in control, so then unfortunately the body is dominant, the soul is dormant, and it will be not so great for us on the other side in the next world, because there's no spiritual merits to enjoy. In other words, you are what you've created over here. That's what's there for your next world. Now, the level of your soul over here is pretty much where you are in the next world. If the soul is tiny and puny and has no voice at all and is almost non-existent, so that's going to be our experience on the other side in the world of eternity. However, explains Rav Simcha Wasserman, that Hashem created in this world a certain place where even though it's in this physical world, because our world is a physical world. In other words, it's the home territory of the body. For the soul to win, it's on away ground. It's not so easy for the soul to defeat the body, to dominate the body, because this is a very physical world. But there is one place in this physical world, which is the place of the soul, which is the home ground of the soul. And that's the Mishkan. That's the sanctuary. That's the Beis HaMikdash. That's a place where the soul thrives. And he brings riots. We see the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and because he's totally separated himself from anything physical on that day of Yom Kippur, and he can enter in because that's a place of soul. It's a pure place of soul. When there's no body, he can go there because that's the place where the soul exists and the soul thrives. The purpose of a korban, of a sacrifice, was to enter into this holy place, the place of soul, and to sacrifice the body. The animal that the owner would bring, which belongs to that, yet he owns that animal, he's bought that animal, it's his property, represents his own animalistic side, represents the or her, represents that person's body, represents that person's physical entity and being. And when a person has sinned and they've given in to the temptations and the desires of the body, so then there's an opportunity to rectify that. Bring this animal, which represents my animalistic side, and hand it to the Kohen. The Kohen will then sacrifice that, which represents my animalistic side being sacrificed in this holy place, in this place where the soul dominates. And that was a tremendously powerful process for an individual. It transformed a person. It was a rebirth of a person. It was now a new beginning. And I gave in to that animalistic side, but now I am and rectifying that by this animal represents my animalistic side, and now my soul, I'm rededicating myself to the dominance of the soul into my soul. And that's the tikkun that takes place, both psychologically and spiritually, which the korban represents, which is what a sacrifice is. So that's what the Beis HaMikdash was. That's what it did. And for many millennia, it transformed the Jewish people. And it kept us as a holy nation. And it kept us connected to Hashem and ensured that we remained on the right path with the body dominating, with the body being dominated by the soul and the soul leading. Thank you so much for listening. May we all merit to connect to Kol Yisrael and to ensure that our souls are dominant in our lives. Have a wonderful day.